I want to talk this morning about going a little deeper with the Lord. Not just looking at the surface of our life, but going a little deeper. Experiencing some of the deeper drives of sin that afflict us. Now, the title of the message today is Tore Up from the Floor Up. Tore Up from the Floor Up. Well, that expression has a lot of history and meaning, and I've occasionally heard women uncharitably speak of other women that way. As if to say, well, she's tore up from the floor up in that a little mascara, a little lipstick, a little foundation and rouge ain't going to cut it. The problems are more fundamental. Tore up from the floor up. I think of someone who told me recently that they went to the doctor with a headache. And the doctor said, well, I've got news for you. We've done some tests. And you think a little pill is going to get rid of it. I can't just give you some extra strength Motrin or Excedrin or something. It's much deeper than that. You've got a brain tumor. And we're going to have to do some surgery. You see, the problems, we always want the problem to be a simple little thing. And sometimes, church, it's deeper. Sometimes we're a little more tore up from the floor up. I look at this building. We're doing some beautiful cosmetic work and getting the walls cleaned and the paintings restored. But I want you to know something. That if the foundations of this building were crumbling, it wouldn't make much sense to do cosmetic work, would it? Before we started this work, I had someone go and on the outside of the building and point up all the stone, reseal all the windows, make sure that no water was coming across. Because, brothers and sisters, we could restore these beautiful paintings. But if we don't deal with the fundamental issues of the water that came through and saturated the walls and made the paintings dark, and well, we're just going to be back in the same place in 2 years, amen? You might say the building will end up being tore up from the floor up. And so this expression, being tore up from the floor up, is a very humorous one, but also very instructive for us. Because the Lord wants to tell us with love that we think our problem is just a little this, a little this, a little that. Church, the problems go a lot deeper. We got some pretty deep stuff going on. And if you're honest, you'll say amen. It isn't just that when I get angry a little bit and, you know, a few little things, there's some deeper issues. And the Lord wants us to look at those things with Him today. Now, take a look at this gospel then with me. You've got this group of Pharisees and some scribes that have come up from Jerusalem. They've come up to Galilee and they're gathering around Jesus. Now, church, Jesus can walk on water. Jesus can raise folks from the dead. Jesus preaches powerfully such that demons come out. Jesus can multiply the loaves and the fishes. But you know what happens? They get all hung up on the fact that some of His disciples didn't wash their hands. And they can't go any further. Church, if someone could raise folks from the dead, who were certainly dead, just raise them up from the dead, do you think you'd worry about whether a few of their disciples washed their hands? But you see, they get all focused on this tradition of washing hands before the meal. There's something wrong in their perspective, not only about Jesus, but even more importantly, about themselves. Because here's what's happening. The scribes and the Pharisees were very observant. That is to say, they observed all the rules, the rituals, some of which had come from God, but many of which were simply human traditions. The Mosaic law doesn't tell people they've got to wash their hands before they eat, but there were traditions that had developed over the centuries. Now, before we simply dismiss these scribes and these Pharisees, let's at least appreciate something good about them. The ritual of washing one's hands before the meal is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Now, let's also do a little homework here. They were not thinking about bacteria or germs. They didn't have any concept of that. But to a Jewish mind, the washing symbolized the need to purify ourselves spiritually. So it's an image of purification. Now, the ancient Jews, and in fact even many of the pagans, never thought of eating as just throwing back a hamburger and you're done with it. They really saw eating as a religious act. Now, in our culture, there's food everywhere. I mean, come on, church, there is food everywhere. We live with an abundance of food, but in the ancient world, food was a little harder to come by, and people considered the reception of food as a great gift, as something deep and profound, something they ought to be mighty grateful to God for. And they had this understanding that before you went and ate, which was a religious act, you ought to purify yourself. And not only purify yourself, but extend your hands and thank God for the food that you were about to receive. Now, thank God some of us in this church still have that tradition. But we don't think in our culture, do we, about food as and eating as something very holy, very sacred. But church, it is. Every now and then, I'm mindful of an article I read in the paper not so long ago. As I was throwing back an abundance of food, as you can see, it sticks to my ribs well. I was reading a story about a woman in the Darfur region of the Sudan, and her husband had been killed by the Muslim insurgents, and she and her family were now refugees, she and her three children. And she's pondering, she has two potatoes to eat. And she's wondering which potato to have for breakfast and which to have for dinner for herself and her three children. There is no lunch. We got to really stop and think sometimes that eating is something very holy and very sacred. We ought to really be in touch with God. The Bible said today in the second reading, every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Father of lights. We so thoughtlessly eat sometimes. We just throw back food. We hardly even think of it. We're eating and we're reading something else. We're doing something. We're practically paying no attention to what we are doing. And yet God is richly bestowing gifts on us. So these scribes and these Pharisees, they may be a little bit uptight about something, but what they're proposing is actually a good and a holy thing. That we should purify ourselves. That eating is something holy and religious, and that we ought to purify ourselves and give thanks to God before we eat. That is a good and a holy thing. But here's the danger, and please stay with me because this can get subtle. The danger is for the religiously observant, and I would dare say that's most of us. You're here on a Sunday, amen? Praise the Lord. You're religiously observant. I hope that most of you pray every day. I hope that many of you pray the rosary every day. Perhaps some of you say novenas. Perhaps some of you read scripture devoutly every day. All of these things are very good and very holy. But here's the danger. We think that by doing a few of these things, we therefore are holy and we don't need to look any deeper. There's a kind of a tendency that we have to think, even if unconsciously, to think that we can buy God off. See, John Vianney once spoke to his congregation and he said, some people pray like this. All right, Lord, I'm going to pray to you now for about 15 minutes and then I will be done with you. And I will get on with my own agenda. Brothers and sisters, I want to affirm that if you pray the rosary, that is a good thing. I want to affirm that you're at daily mass or say novenas and extra prayers in addition to your Sunday obligation. Those are good and holy things. But be very careful. Because our problems are a lot deeper than just a few little religious observances. We're tore up from the floor up. And we got to go deeper with God. And God wants to go deeper with us. And just saying a few little prayers, taking a spiritual aspirin, may not be enough. There may be deeper issues that we have to look at. Now, again, look at these scribes and these Pharisees. They say to themselves in their own mind, I am a holy man. Why? Because I wash my hands before I pray. Because I fast twice a week. Because I pay my tithes. Well, those are good things. Some of them are commanded. Some of them are commended. Do those things. But don't think that just doing those things is what makes you holy. Brothers and sisters, if you pray every day, praise the Lord. You ought to. But that is not the end of holiness. That's the beginning. Are you praying with me? But the danger is for the religiously observant that they think, well, look at me. I wash my hands before I pray. I pay tithes. I get to church on Sunday. Therefore, that's all I need to do. Don't need to go any deeper. Brothers and sisters, doing these things is just the beginning, not the end. Now, these scribes and these Pharisees are saying, look at me, I'm holy, look at me, I'm great. And Jesus is saying, man, look again. I'm glad you wash your hands before you eat. You ought to do it. But don't tell me that that makes you holy. As though that's all that was required. In a way, if Jesus, and I'm kind of reading into this text on some things that Jesus said to them in other places. But he's saying, guys, pay attention. I want you to wash your hands before you eat. That's a good thing. But you know what I even want you to do more? I want you to start loving people. I want you to start acting with justice. Get in touch with your arrogance for a minute. Brothers and sisters, if you are religiously observant, thank the Lord. It's His gift to you. It's not your gift to Him. If you've been rescued from complete confusion and total secularity, just thank God it's His gift. It's not meant to make us arrogant. Likewise, Jesus had to rebuke the scribes and the Pharisees because they were the religious leaders of their day. But look at their malfeasance. They don't even want to hang around sinners. Can you imagine a doctor that didn't want to be around sick people or injured people? That's a pretty poor doctor, wouldn't you say? And they think they're holy because they wash their hands. And Jesus is saying, pay attention. You're the religious leaders. You ought to be out here among the sick and the spiritually dying. You ought to be preaching. What's your problem? You're arrogant. You have deep drives of selfishness. You think of your religious leadership only as a distinction of honor, not as something of service. You ought to be like a good doctor out among the plague victims, ministering, even at the cost of your own life. And all you do is parade around in religious robes and call yourself titles like rabbi and teacher. You don't deserve any of it. Oh, I'm glad you washed your hands. Keep washing your hands. But your problems are a lot deeper. You are tore up from the floor up. And get in touch with it. That's what the Lord is saying to these men. Let me give you a more modern example of how sometimes the religiously observant that can allow their rituals to blind them to the deeper drives that the Lord wants them to look at. I told you this story before for a different purpose. I'm going to repeat this story that I told you for a slightly different reason today. Many years ago, almost 20 years ago now, I think the woman I'm thinking of, I believe she's deceased now. But many years ago, I was in a parish where the demographics were changing dramatically in the neighborhood. The neighborhood was going from being a largely white, working class neighborhood to an African American neighborhood. And there was a particular woman that used to come to me every day after Mass and strike up a conversation. And very often her conversation would be rooted in fear, would be rooted in anxiety about what was happening in the neighborhood. Now, she led the rosary. She prayed the rosary after Mass with a rosary group, and she was a daily Mass. And at every level, she looked like a very holy woman. She was doing good things, and I have no doubt there were many good things about her. She was definitely a woman of prayer. But day after day, she would come to me and say, "Father, we've got to do something about this." I said, "About what?" "Well, you know, what's happening?" I said, "Tell me, what's happening?" She was trying to talk in code, and I kept trying to call her out. "Well, you know, Father, the neighborhood is changing." "Yes, it is. Thank God, though, the ones who are moving in still remain human beings. We're not being invaded from Mars or some... So we do have human beings moving in. But, Father, you know what I'm talking about. Those people are moving in." I said, "Tell me more." "You know, Father, black people. What are we going to do about it?" I said, "Maybe we could love them and befriend them and invite them to join our church." "Oh, Father, I don't like black people." And she went on to say other things that I won't repeat. Now, I had to keep calling her on this. Because, you see, her sense of herself was that she was a holy and a pious woman. But brothers and sisters, praying the rosary wasn't enough. Getting to daily Mass wasn't enough. Somewhere she needed to get on her knees and say, "Lord, show me my deep drives. Show me my hidden faults, the things that I may not be aware of as being sinful, but are sinful to you." But she wasn't willing to have that kind of a discussion, because the discussion ended because she simply said, "I'm a holy woman. I pray every day. I get to church. I'm not like other people." And I have no doubt that there was a kind of a holiness about her, but much was needed. You might say that she was a little tore up from the floor up. You might say that she was allowing her devotion to the Blessed Mother and to daily Mass to blind her to a very deep wound of racial hatred and bigotry that was in her. And she was sort of a woman of her time. She had grown up with that. She just kind of grown up in a world that was filled with that. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying to you, she was unreflective. She couldn't see the deeper drives of sin. And one of the things that blinded her was her own piety. Now, be careful. This is a subtle point, isn't it? I want you to be pious. I want you to pray every day. But do not try to buy God off. If she didn't face this before her death, she's talking with the Lord in purgatory about it now. I think I told you another time I said to her, I said, "You know, you're not going to be able to go to heaven. Don't you know that?" She said, "What do you mean I can't go to heaven? I love the Lord. I pray every day." And I said, "Well, you won't like it in heaven." "What do you mean I won't like it in heaven? I can't wait to be with God in heaven." I said, "I got news for you. You won't be happy in heaven, because there are black people in heaven." I don't know. Maybe she was expecting it all to be magically resolved. But brothers and sisters, a deeper drive. And I don't mean to single this woman out. I have my issues. You have yours. And sometimes we allow our own religious observance to blind us into looking at those things. "Well, it can't be me. I mean, I pray and I'm better than so-and-so." And you're not going to get to heaven by being better than so-and-so. The way you get to heaven is by being like Jesus. Anyone need some mercy now? So, again, let's be careful with this. I'm not saying religious observance means nothing. I'm not saying that it's pointless. I'm saying it's good. I'm saying it's holy. But it's the beginning. It's the beginning of our healing, not the end of it. There can be some pretty ugly stuff in all of us who go to church every Sunday, who pray every day. And if we're honest, we'll admit that there's some foundational issues that sometimes I'm not paying attention to and I'm ignoring. In some sense, we're all a little tore up from the floor up. We've got some deeper drives. And so the Lord says to these scribes and these Pharisees, well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites when he wrote, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now, I've been talking a lot about evangelization. I want to make an evangelization link here. One of the greatest problems in evangelizing that any of us could face is our own unrepented sin that people know about. And we go to them and say, come and go with me to my Father's house. I love the Lord Jesus. Oh, you love Jesus, do you? Do you have any idea how hard it is to live with you? Now, I hope it's not that extreme. But one of the things that we've got to do to really be effective evangelizers is to be allowing the Lord to really reach deep into our heart and transform us. Because otherwise, one of the great scandals of the church are people who say they love Jesus, but. And there's whatever the but that comes after that, whatever the issue, whatever the issues, it becomes quite scandalous at a certain point when people announce that they love Jesus, but they do not show, as the book of James said, their religion is not pure and undefiled. For what is pure religion that's pure and undefiled? Care for the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the errors of the world. There ought to be a connection between our faith and the way we live our life. And if people notice a disconnect, our attempts to evangelize fall short. So therefore, part of getting ready to evangelize as a community and also as individuals is to be able to look at the hypocrisy in our own life. Because as hard as it is, Jesus may have to say to some of us, well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites when he said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. It's so easy to come and praise Jesus and walk out the door and use the same lips and the same tongue to curse someone else. And so it is. The Lord is asking us to look very carefully at our religious observance and make sure that we're allowing it to change us and transform us. Now the final thing, the final part of this homily that I want to then look at is then the Lord gives the prescription. First of all, there was a problem that they had of perspective. They couldn't see their own sin. In a certain sense, their own sense of their holiness blinded them from their sin. And so the Lord called to their attention the problem. Hypocrisy. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. As the book of James put it, you hear the word, but you don't do the word. So the Lord points out the problem. And then he talks about the prescription. He gathers the crowd and he says to them, I want to say this to all of you. Nothing that enters someone from the outside defiles, but the things that defile are those things that come from within, from the deep recesses of one's heart. The Lord says, go deeper with me. You've got some drives in you that cause you to sin in multiple ways. And I am ultimately a cardiologist, says the Lord. I am a cardiologist with a capital C. The greatest cardiologist that ever existed. I am one who does heart surgery. And I want to look with you deep in your heart and see some of the drives that are causing you grief and pain and sin and causing other people around you grief and pain and sin. Let me make it plain. A lot of people struggle with the sacrament of confession. Because the way most people prepare for confession is they try to scratch their head and think about since the last time they've been to confession and some of the things they've done that they shouldn't have done and so on. And I don't know about you, but I have trouble remembering what I did on Wednesday, let alone 3 weeks ago, right? And they try to think, well, I probably yelled at a few people. I got mad at the kids. I yelled at my husband. And maybe I looked at a few naughty pictures. Whatever, you know. They come up with some stuff. But it's all pretty much on the surface. It's what we would call external behavior. Now, that's a good start. We ought to look at our external behavior. But have you ever thought as you get ready to go to confession that you might go a little deeper? What are some of the attitudes that I have? So I get angry with the kids a lot. What's going on there? What are some of the deeper reasons for that? Why am I impatient? Why am I sometimes unkind or uncaring? Where does that come from? What are some of the deeper levels of that in my heart? Let me give you one quick example. Have you ever thought about, this is an attitude I'm talking about now, how ungrateful we are? I mean, it's incredible how gifted we are, especially living in 21st century America. How about the air conditioning that's going right now? Our grandparents didn't know anything about it. They just had to sit here and fan. People got out of Washington for the summer. It was so bad. But brothers and sisters, the incredible gifts that God is lavishing upon us from moment to moment, every breath we take, every cell that's functioning properly in our body, every atom that sustains every cell, the fact that He keeps the earth going just where it needs to be so that we don't cook or freeze, all of the secret hidden gifts that God is giving from moment to moment, and my gosh, if we're caught in traffic, we're bent out of shape all day. We are so ungrateful. Every little thing that goes wrong, we know it like a laser beam. And we ignore all the beautiful gifts God is giving. Have you ever thought about that attitude and really prayed about it? And thought how it leads to sin? Because you see, because of our ingratitude, we're not in touch with God's gifts. And because of the fact that we're not in touch with His gifts, we tend not to trust Him as much as we should. Or perhaps we become greedy and we begin to grasp and hold on to things because we think, well, maybe God won't come through for me tomorrow, so I better hoard today. And so we become greedy and selfish, egotistical, thinking only about our own needs. And instead of thinking about how incredibly good God has been to us, we just count up our wounds. And because we're not in touch with God's goodness to us, we're not very good to other people. And on it goes. Next time you get ready for confession, just take an attitude like gratitude. And think about it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I got a lot to confess already. Now, there are some very deep drives that are within us. Let me list some of them for you. Because we hardly ever think about them. But the Lord is asking us to go deeper and to look at some of these drives and these attitudes that we carry around, and they're so basic to us that we don't even think about them. And so the Lord asks us to get in touch with things. For example, think about our fear. And our fear makes us retreat and get angry and lash out. Our fear. Think about our indifference, our contempt, our impurity, our hatreds, our plain old laziness, our cowardice, our anger, our greed, our jealousy, our sense of revenge and needing to get back at people. Well, that's a big one, isn't it?
You did this to me, I'll get you for it. You've got it coming. Revenge. Disobedience. Being hard-hearted. Filled with pride and envy. Sometimes we're stingy and selfish. Petty. Spiteful. Self-indulgent. Full of lust. Sometimes we're just plain careless. And neglectful. Sometimes we struggle with prejudice, bigotries, and racial hatreds. Brothers and sisters, if we're honest, we can admit that sometimes we can be obnoxious, dishonest, egotistical, undisciplined, weak, impure, arrogant, self-centered, pompous, insincere, unchaste, grasping, immoral, ungrateful, disobedient, selfish, lukewarm, slothful, loving, uncommitted, and just plain sinful. And if we think that praying a little rosary or saying a novena is going to cut it, I got news for you. Tore up from the floor up. More is needed. Now, I know this can sound overwhelming, but what I'm asking you to think about, what the Lord is inviting us to do in this gospel today, is just go a little deeper with Him. Just take one or two of those attitudes that might have struck you. Maybe it's about being ungrateful. Maybe it's just about being petty. Petty. Just little things that annoy us and we let them get to us and they ruin our whole day. Maybe it's just about being hard-hearted. So uncaring about what other people are going through. So self-centered about it's all about me and what's going on in my life. Whatever it might be. But just take one or two of those attitudes. But ask the Lord to show you some of the deeper drives and attitudes. So that next time you go to confession, you're not just thinking of a few things you did. That's on the surface. That's the behavior. That's the results. But to go a little bit deeper and look at some of the causes. Why am I so impatient? Why am I sometimes so unkind? Why? You say, well, I can't remember all these things, Father. Let me suggest to you Colossians chapter 3. Every now and then somebody says, Father, I want to go to confession. How should I prepare? And if you're taking notes today, at least make a mental note of it. Colossians chapter 3. And I would pick up around the 12th verse. Put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another. Forgive one another whatever grievances you have against each other. And love one another. Now, I won't go any further. There's more there. But does anyone have anything to go to confession about yet? Kind, humble, sincere, patient, bearing with one another. The deeper drives, the attitudes that lead us into grievous and insensitive and hurtful behaviors. The Lord is saying, don't just tell me that you washed your hands. Don't just tell me that you said your rosary. I want you to do those things. They're good. Do them. But let them be the beginning of you and me going deeper and looking at some of the attitudes, some of the painful, difficult things that you carry with you. And they're just so innate and so basically there that you hardly even notice when you're doing them. How many of us really notice, for example, how ungrateful we are from moment to moment? Sometimes it takes something to call that to our attention. It's just so basic. We hardly even know it's there. And the Lord is simply saying to all of us today, it is not things from the outside that defile us. It's things that well up from within, from deep down in our heart, from the recesses of our heart. These things defile a person. It is from within that come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. Jesus says all these things come from within, and they defile. Go deeper with Jesus. You say, I can't remember all the things you said today, pastors. Too many words, too many It's not about remembering all of them. It's about getting on your knees. It's about me getting on my knees and saying, show me, Lord, some of the basic issues that you need me to look at. What's the next step for me, Lord? What do I need to focus on? Is it gratitude? Is it humility? Is it kindness? Is it patience? What is it, Lord? Teach me. Lord, give me a clean heart so that I may serve Thee. Give me a clean heart. Lord, You're the best cardiologist in the world, and You know how to do heart surgery. It is a given truth, church, that no one can do heart surgery on themselves. Amen? Could you take a saw and open up your chest and stitch your heart together? No way. And we can't do this kind of work either. It's Jesus who has to do it for us. So I encourage you to get on your knees and just say, Lord, it's in my heart. That's where the problem is. It's not about cosmetics. It's not about taking a little pill, saying a little prayer, doing a little novena. It's a little deeper than that, Lord. Give me a clean heart so that I may serve Thee. Lord, give me a clean heart. Amen.